Hey Shoujo fans, and welcome to episode 28 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, I am so excited to say we are covering episodes 1 through 3 of Ouran High School Host Club. Let's dig in. Chica, we're finally doing it. It's Ouran time.
It's Ouran time. I'm so excited.
I'm ecstatic. Guys, if you don't know already, which I'm sure you do, this is one of my very top favorite animes ever. Probably my favorite shoujo. I love Ouran so much. I have so many Ouran things in my apartment.
Yeah, I love Ouran as well. I feel like it was part of my manga journey. Mm. And I just love the antics that they get into. Yes. And I would just be laughing to myself, like, especially like when I was in school. The closest I actually came to talking to people about, oh, I like anime, manga, whatever. I brought one to school. Like, I think it was volume 10. Because I realized that I had bought double, but rather than just giving the extra one back, I gave it to a friend.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
You know, I try. Yeah, so I gave it to a friend because I was just like, it's good. You like it. Because I already knew that they liked Ouran. But yeah, I'm really glad that we're talking about this and doing something that we genuinely like.
Yes.
I feel like our last two things we covered was like, oh my gosh, this is not going the way we want it to.
Oh, so. Yeah. This is a great follow-up to Blue Spring Ride, which was like a collective Ice Cream, You Scream.
Yeah.
And then The Cat's Return, which is like a collective Banana Split.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very happy that we're doing Ouran right now.
Yeah, it's like coming home.
It is. Oh, that's such a nice way to put it. So I guess here is our soft serve summary brought to you by Wikipedia. Scholarship student Haruhi Fujioka arrives at Ouran Academy, where she is mistaken as a male due to her short hair and boyish appearance. She stumbles upon the host club while looking for a quiet place to study, and accidentally breaks a vase worth 8 million yen, which is equivalent today to 61k. To pay off the debt, Haruhi is forced to work as the club's errand boy. Once the hosts realize Haruhi has a natural talent for entertaining girls, they promote her to host in training and will forgive her debt if she obtains 100 paying customers. They also discover she's female, but keep that a secret. On her first day as a host, Haruhi irritates Princess Ayana Koji, one of Tamaki's jealous customers. Ayana Koji is banned from the club for destroying Haruhi's book bag, but Haruhi's debt is raised to 1,000 customers. And that's our soft serve summary. Chica, do you have any theme ideas for this very first Ouran episode?
Make the best out of any situation.
Okay, I like that. That's a nice way to look at it. I have, it's what's on the inside that counts. Very classic.
Yes, beautiful.
I also just thought in like theme / sprinkles on top, a good place to put this was that I felt like this episode as a whole just sort of left a solid introductory framework for the rest of the series so that we could just see what to expect and just lay it all out for us.
Yeah, it did a really good job letting us know like who the characters are, the fact that there are fourth wall points within the episode where it's like, oh, we're paying attention to the arrow and the vase.
Yes.
And
oh, I love it.
Yeah, and the light bulbs and like stuff like that, you know, the roses, their temperaments. I think it did a really good job.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And getting into sprinkles on top, I want to talk about the music, the opening and ending themes, because these songs are ones I have, at least specifically the opening song, I have a very, very strong connection to. Sakura Kiss by Chieko Kawabe is the opening theme to Ouran High School Host Club, and it is my favorite anime opening to this day. I guess that could be a controversial statement because there's so many stellar openings out there. But this one is very, very personal to me. It's so upbeat and it's catchy, and I feel like it encapsulates the show very well. The drums also go really hard if you're listening to it closely. I actually used to close all of my gigs playing a cover of Sakura Kiss back in the day, and there is nothing quite like the sight of like grown-ass men in a bar bobbing their heads to like me playing Sakura Kiss on a ukulele. It was like the best little like window into, they don't know this is from an anime. I love this. I love that we're sharing this moment together because it's just such a good song that like everybody can love it.
Yeah, I need footage. I want to see this. But yes, I feel like it is an amazing opening song. It feels so shoujo to me. Like
it does. Yeah.
It just does, you guys. Like, I'm trying to articulate it well, but I don't know. Like, falling in love, the random burst of, like, English, the guitar riffs. It feels so perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It really sets the mood.
It does.
It gets you pumped to watch this show.
Yeah, it's like you can just, you know, do a little dance. It makes me smile.
Me too.
It's one of the songs that, you know, if it came up on shuffle, like I would say, like, don't even dare skipping this or there will be violence.
Absolutely. This is actually a song that I never skip the opening when I'm watching Ouran because I love Sakura Kiss so much.
Yeah, I love it too.
And we have our closing song, which is Shisu by Last Alliance. And I think I can almost speak collectively for anybody who's watched Ouran to say that that guitar riff at the beginning of the song is iconic and can very easily just make you emotional. It makes me emotional. I just love that opening guitar riff of Shisu so much.
I love it as well. I mean, I'll just stop waxing poetic, you guys. I just really, obviously, I love Ouran. So I think it's the perfect accompaniment. Okay. Yes, I said it.
You did.
Accompaniment to Sakura Kiss. It perfectly balances out the episode. It gets you excited for the next one.
Uh-huh.
And I like the animation that they show. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in contrast to, like, I feel like what you usually see, I feel like when I listen to Kawaii Disappointment's coverage of Ouran, which, guys, please listen to their Ouran episode. Listen to Kawaii Disappointment. We love them. But I think I remember them also saying this, which is something I noticed, that Shisu is an upbeat ending song. Like, it keeps the momentum going, whereas a lot of anime closing songs are ones that are kind of winding you down and saying goodbye. But this is like, I run and run 1,000 miles. Like, let's fucking go. Like, we're keeping the energy up. So I love that about it as well.
Yeah, because like usually the anime ending songs, they're telling you to die. They're just like, oh, here's the Japanese water spider lily thing, you know.
Here's the character sleeping under a tree.
Right, you're sleeping under the trees. The most depressing thing has happened to you. You don't have food to eat for the week. I don't know. It's just very down. And so I love how positive the ending song is for this.
Oh my god, what a way to put it. I love it. Really quickly, before we get into Floats Your Boat, I have to ask, do you have a favorite host? And who are they if you do?
Okay, so I don't think it's going to be just one. I will say my adolescent self was like a Tamaki stan.
Okay, yeah.
But now I am more of a Mori and Kyoya stan.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I like the strong, silent type. You just let me do what I want. If I need help, you'll come get me. And he has money. Just perfect.
Yeah, Mori's very dependable.
Yes. And then I also feel like with Kyoya, I do like men in glasses. I won't say I'm as ardent about it as Gianna, but I do like
it. Oh, you know. Yeah, we don't even have to ask me the question. We all know.
I do like men in glasses, but yeah. And I like how calculating he can be. Although sometimes that can be a little annoying.
It can be, yeah.
But when it's to my benefit, I'm for it. So
I'm definitely the Kyoya fan for sure. I love a man with a plan, you know? He knows what to do. He knows how to do it, and he's going to do everything in his power to get it done. You know, he keeps the organization behind the whole thing. He's the Shadow King. You know, he's the one actually really kind of in charge, even though Tamaki calls the bigger shots. So,
yeah,
I've always been a big Kyoya fan for sure.
I used to read the Haruhi and Kyoya fanfics.
Oh, interesting. I thought we would talk about ships later, but I am.
Oh, we can talk about it later, but I was just saying, because it's like, I know I said when I was younger I was a Tamaki fan, but I also still liked Kyoya back then too. I would just say now I'm more of like a Mori. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially since he's tall. Like, yes, please be tall so I can climb you. Yeah.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah. The Climb by Miley Cyrus, minus her shitty ex-husband. But yeah.
But make it Mori.
Make it Mori, yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So getting into Floats Your Boat. Oh my gosh. It's like, where do we start with a show that we love so much? I mean, you already touched on the fourth wall breaks. I mean, that's definitely all Floats Your Boat for me. Like the arrow on the vase and Kyoya turning and addressing the audience at the end. Just all of the fourth wall breaks and the self-awareness of the show is what grasped my attention the very first time I ever watched it. I'm like, oh, this show knows what it's all about. And it's not shy about it in any way. And I love that so very much about it.
Yeah. You know, I really like that. I mean, I literally just put, I like everything.
Yeah.
The rose iconography, the music, the vibe. My soul is happy.
Yeah.
But I would say there's a host for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of similar, although to a lesser extent, it's similar to my feelings on Fruits Basket, because in Fruits Basket, there's like a zodiac for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have like their own trouble that they're going through, and they learn their lesson and they learn something to get past it. And so you can reread that and just be able to align yourself with someone else that feels the same way that you do in the moment. Even if your favorite character is like Toru or something, like there's a zodiac for everyone. But with this, in a more fun way, there's a host for everyone. So it's like, oh, do you like the devil type, the Shadow King that knows everything? Do you like the strong, silent type like Mori? I question you if you like Honey. I don't know if that's really like you just want to take care of your partner type of thing. I know that some people like, that's their love language, is acts of service. And I feel like that sort of suits whoever would be with Honey. But yeah, I would question you about that a little bit. No offense, y'all. Tamaki, that's just literally just one for everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, and the twins. Although, I would question you about that. I'll kind of question you about this one.
Well, if you liked one twin in particular, if you're not shipping the twins together, that's a whole other story.
Right, that's a whole other... That's Alabama. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Alabama. Shout out to our listeners in Alabama.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, guys.
Okay. I'm sure it also happens in Kentucky. No, let me stop.
Oh, yes, sure. Let's just name all the states.
All of the states. West Virginia.
All 50 states.
Country roads.
Take me home. Oh my God, we're like 16 minutes into recording and it's entirely unhinged. I love it so much.
Yeah, I'll reel it back in. Sorry. So yeah,
okay.
There's a host for everyone, guys.
So I loved... In particular, it's interesting kind of watching this with the intention to make notes, because then you're kind of looking at things through a different lens than watching casually.
Mm-hmm.
And something I like really picked up on was when Haruhi initially comes into the host club, you know, in like the quote unquote like commoner's clothes and glasses and her hair all uncombed and stuff. And Tamaki's like, wow, you know, I didn't know that the honor student would be so openly gay. Then it's like, cool, so like, which host do you want to see? So instead of, I mean, this came out in the early 2000s where there was like a different stance right. on LGBT and stuff. And I just thought taking the time, especially into consideration, the way Tamaki was just like so immediately accepting and being like, oh, so you're here for our service. Let me just take care of you and not questioning that at all. I thought that was awesome.
I think it's amazing as well, just even given the situation now, you know, they don't allow for gay marriage in Japan still.
I actually forgot that they didn't still. That's not good.
Yeah, still. And that's despite them having boys love, girls love,
yikes,
manga and everything. So I would say something that I do like about Ouran High School Host Club is not only them being immediately accepting of Haruhi in this episode, of thinking that she wanted a host because they thought she was a boy, but also just Haruhi's approach to gender.
Yes, yes.
Throughout the whole series and stuff. She's a very open person. And I mean, we learn why with her backstory, mm-hmm. but she's a very open person. She's open to being a host prior to them finding out. And even after them finding out, you know, and I think that it's just great to see like a female lead that's open-minded in that way and is not sort of shamed out of, well, let me not say shamed out of it because, you know, Tamaki is always pushing for her to dress like a girl and be like a girl
oh,
or
yes.
whatever.
Yeah.
But just her being the way that she is and being so open to gender and sexuality. I really appreciate that. And the fact that, like you said, that this came out in the early 2000s, it's like a marvel because even today in 2023, it's still illegal over there. Mm. So
I think that the manga initially came out in like 2002. So, I mean, props to Bisco Hattori for those amazing strides way back then.
Yeah.
But steering it back a little bit, I loved, okay, everything about the commoner's coffee bit in this episode is so funny to me. It's just like the fascination, the mystification of instant coffee. So it's true that poor people don't even have enough time to grind their own coffee beans. It's like so funny that this is alien to them. They are that rich that they can't even comprehend instant coffee.
Right. And like, I would say that part is a bit unrealistic for me. Because
it is. Yeah.
I feel like even if people are rich now, they're always going to be exposed to people that don't have money.
Yeah.
Like even in regular like life, like they're going out to the store, they have to get gas in their car. I mean, even if they have to drive their car, so they're going to be on the highway with other people. And I'm sure that there are poor people that are driving by. So it's a little unrealistic, but sort of funny, at least until it gets to Ayano. But
oh, yeah, she sucks. She absolutely sucks.
Yeah, she's a hot fudge, but we'll get there.
Absolutely, yeah. I just, the whole bit of Tamaki tasting instant coffee is like this act of being a martyr or a hero in some way was so funny to me. And like, honestly, he does that thing where he's like, I will drink this coffee. And that frame lives in my mind rent-free. I drink coffee on work days. I try to restrict it to work days. So it lives rent-free in my mind at least, you know, through the weekends when I'm working. And I'm like, should I like just, I could just drink my coffee when I'm like getting ready or something. But it's like, no, I will carve out time to sit down and enjoy this coffee. I will drink this coffee. It's like, I think it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really a coffee girl. I think I'm more of a Red Bull girl, guys. I know.
Oh, okay.
It's bad for your heart palpitations, whatever. I don't normally only take it if, oh, I only got 2 hours of sleep. I'm going to literally pass out if I don't drink something to stay up.
Yeah.
But I just enjoyed the entire scene of like not Tamaki, just Tamaki also volunteering to drink it, but then also like the other girls being like, oh, I will join you.
I'm afraid if I drink this, my father will yell at me. And he's like, what if I let you drink it from my mouth? And she's like, then I would drink it. It's so funny.
Right. Because wouldn't your daddy yell at you then? Why are you drinking from people's mouths, girl?
Right. That's worse than just drinking the instant coffee. It's like, not only did you drink the instant coffee, but you drank it from some boy's mouth in the music room.
Right. That you paid for. You don't even know, like, what his backwash is going to taste like.
Does he floss? We don't know. We can only hope.
Right. I'm sorry. I'll say this now. It's not really an ice cream, you scream. It's just an aside, but I really rebuke those like, oh, I'm drink from somebody's mouth. No.
No.
Give me the water bottle and pour it into my mouth. There's never going to be a time where I want to drink anything from somebody else's mouth. Because at that point, it's like, even if I watch you the entire day and it's like, oh, I saw how much they flossed. I saw what they ate. I did this. It will never be enough for me.
Yeah, no, it would never not be weird for me either.
Yeah.
In case you guys were wondering. Okay, so Lucy Christian, who also, guys, I will admit, I watched this in English just because I have a very nostalgic attachment to the English dub. Mm. So Lucy Christian, who plays Honey, refers to Honey as a precious little lamb. She referred to him as that when she was recording Oran. And I just thought that she hit the nail on the head with that because he is indeed a precious bean.
It's like a little baby.
Yes. Protect at all costs.
You know what? He reminds me of Momiji.
Oh.
But I'm going to stop with the Fruits Basket references, but still.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, they are kind of similar.
Yeah. Let's see. What else did I... Oh, I love how Mori, like, saved Haruhi from Tamaki just being, like, so infectious and wanting to hug her.
Yeah. He was, like, really intense about it, too. He swooped in there.
She was like, save me. And it was like, you would think that he was going to battle. Just like...
Yeah.
That split second, like, clip to black and white. And all of a sudden, he's like, has her up in the air. And I was just like, me. But why couldn't it be me?
Why couldn't it be me?
Someday.
Someday. See, for me, I remember when I was, like... Specifically from when I was watching this the very first time and seeing the twins, like, getting uncomfortably close with one another, I was thinking, okay, I thought this show was purposefully over the top, but this is really amping it up and I can't wait to see what else they're gonna throw at me. Like, obviously I don't ship the twins together, but I just think it's very funny to watch them play it up for the clients. Like, they're so aware of what's going on. It's just so on purpose and purposefully ridiculous that I just can't help but think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it reminded me, I don't think I remember the name, but there was like a Forbidden Love like manga which was messy that involved like a brother and sister.
Ooh.
And I think it came out in and around the same time. And so I was just like, oh, like, is that just the thing? We're just going to be seeing it, the theme.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah. It's called I'm in Love with My Sister.
Oh, that's direct.
Yeah. What is that? It's Flowers in the Attic. I don't know. I guess if y'all guys know what Flowers in the Attic is, like, yeah. I don't know why that was a thing, but it's kind of interesting seeing people's reaction to it. So I just sort of, I'm taking the twins' action as it's a money thing. It's not going to happen. They just know that people have dark fantasies like that. So,
yeah, that's how I interpreted it as well. It's just like, oh, this is a thing that we could market, even though it's like we don't romantically, like they're very close. Like they care a lot about each other, but I think it stops there. And they're just like, well, we could play this up for clients and it'd be very funny because they like to get a rise out of people. And it certainly gets a rise out of the girls.
Yeah.
I did like the exposition from Kyoya as a way to sort of introduce everybody in the club to the viewer. We see that, you know, Tamaki's the king and he lays out the details of Haruhi's labor until she graduates to the club. And then just putting his own foot down, being like, oh, also my family employs private police. Do you have a passport? Like, knowing that she would have to leave Japan if she tried to escape, which is wild. But I feel like It was a very good expositional moment to show us where we were and who everybody was and what the stakes were, even though it's like very silly stakes.
Right. I mean, when he said that, I was just like, oh, banana split. But
yeah,
I got it because it was like an expression of this is just how wealthy he is. Mm-hmm. But then I was just like, it's not that deep because, oh, that's a different part. Wherein floats your boat? I'll get more into the base stuff later.
Yeah. One of my last floats your boats is Tamaki goes on this rant about how perfect he is. And he's giving Haruhi gentlemanly tips. And she's just like, there's a word for people like this. And she can't think of it. And she's like, oh, obnoxious. And Tamaki hears this and it sends him straight into the corner. And just all of that was so funny because it just like, it just knocked him right on his ass. And all it took was for her to be like, well, you know, maybe something you said kind of struck a chord with me. And he's right back to roses and sparkles. Ugh, so funny. So good.
Yeah. And that's like, I know that feeling, like when you're trying to think of a word.
Yes.
And it finally comes to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a vibe.
I guess I'll just do my last floats your boat is very quick. When the twins take off Haruhi's glasses and they see, you know, that she's pretty, which, you know, I guess is kind of a, you know, there's feelings about that that could be elaborated on maybe. Tamaki's giving everybody a task to do. He's sending like Oran to the, oh my God, he's sending Mori to the eye doctor. He's sending the twins to go get a uniform and Kyoya off to do other stuff. And when it comes to Honey, there are no jobs left. So he just sends Honey over to eat cake. He's like, it's just me, Susa-chan. It's so cute. Poor Honey.
Poor Honey.
Yeah.
Tamaki became like Paolo from the print. Wait, right? Wait, what the? Oh my gosh, why am I blanking?
I said Oran the first time I tried to say Mori's name, so it's okay.
It's Paolo from, oh my gosh, you know, Princess Genovia. Because remember when she gets, when Mia gets her hair like straightened? The Princess Diaries.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that in a hot minute.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But that's what I meant, guys. So sorry. I'm old now.
No. And
I have to grasp at things. I have to Google things to get my mind back together. But yeah, Paolo from The Princess Diaries has this whole like makeover with Mia, and then it's just like, I took this and I took this and I give you a princess. And it was just like exactly the same with Haruhi. So it's like part of me loves makeovers, but then at the same time, it's like, now we should love people as they are.
Right.
But yeah, but I mean, it was so fun to like see her sort of come alive within the uniform.
Yeah, it was like a little transformation.
Yeah. I have Tamaki helping Haruhi get her wallet.
Yes. Oh, it's such a good moment.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, okay, that's gentlemanly, because she said that, you know, if she doesn't find it, she won't get to eat for a week. And I was just like, damn.
Yeah.
Because I was like, your money, like, I hope you mean cards, because if it's cash, then you're done.
Yeah. I remember watching the behind the scenes, and one of the things that the director, which I think was, it was Caitlin Glass, I think, who directed the English version, which is the voice of Haruhi. And I remember there was this whole thing about the tone of Tamaki's voice when he's talking to Haruhi in the pond, and just his overall demeanor and attitude. And when they were trying to figure out, you know, Tamaki's tone of voice for more serious moments going on later in the series, they were like, oh, well, just think back to Tamaki in the pond. And I thought that that was just a nice thing to kind of keep in mind, like on a rewatch to kind of feel that out.
Yeah. It's so good, y'all.
Yeah.
It's a good anime.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's like I just ran into my feelings. I was like, it's so nice.
Yeah.
I think the last thing that I have is the light bulbs. Something that I liked, I think any time a light bulb went off was when a host realized she was a girl.
Yeah.
And so it just took like the last light bulb, and then it's like, wait, what? And it's like, y'all, you didn't know? Like, seriously? But okay.
I love how there was somehow this silent agreement to just wait for Tamaki to figure out and see how long it would take for him compared to everybody else. Like, nobody was talking about it. They were just waiting to see how long it would take him to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, too. Like, when they sort of unite against him at times, it's so much fun.
Yeah. It's so funny. So, do you have any more floats your boat, or do you want to move into Banana Split?
Banana Split.
Okay. We kind of already touched on this in Floats Your Boat, but the only reason why this is in Banana Split was because it was one quite bad thing, but it led to this good thing. It was Haruhi's bag being thrown into the pond, but that gave us the moment of Tamaki helping her without hesitation, except Haruhi's bag in the pond is really frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just put Ayano all together in Hot Fudge, mm-hmm. but I did like the fact that he took the time to help her get the stuff out of the fountain.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering, like, how that happened. Like, if she was doing host activities, then it's just kind of like, what's up with your security, Kyoya? Because you just brought up the police earlier in this episode, you know, when you sort of threatened Haruhi. So it's like, why was that even possible to happen?
That's interesting.
Yeah, but then it's also like, if it's in school, like, why didn't nobody saw it happen, you know? And so, like, her just going by the right window to see her bag in the right fountain and everything, it's just like, okay, that's a lot of coordination.
Yeah. I imagine it's a big campus based on, you know, the size of the building.
Right, yeah. It looks very much like they go to school in Versailles.
Yeah.
The other banana split I have is her makeover, because, like, I sort of touched on that a little bit in Floats Your Boat, on, like, oh, I like makeovers because I, like, grew up in that time where, oh, well, the woman can become a hero if she gets a makeover. Although now we're, like, in that space of women are not just women. Everyone's beautiful the way that they are. So there's no need to have such a heavy, like, change. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, when it comes to her glasses, it's just like, okay, yeah, she can wear contacts, but Kyoya also wears glasses. So I was just like, why didn't they just give her glasses frame? I mean, I guess because, you know, main character, but he's still sort of a main, well, he's still a lead, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Well, I know Haruhi did say that she had contacts, but she lost them on the first day of school. So maybe that's why they were like, oh, well, we should replace her contacts instead of getting her new frames.
Right. Yeah, because I think that if just the frames are the reason why they weren't able to recognize that she was beautiful, then changing the frames could also work towards more people being able to properly see her. But yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the only banana splits that I had.
Yeah, same. I only had the one. So I'm good to move on.
Okay.
If you want to get into, there is like the one obligatory rocky road that is Haruhi's mom has been dead for 10 years at the start of the series.
Oh, yeah. I put her recipes down. The recipes comment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For Rocky Road.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. I was just like, that's so cute. Mm-hmm. And then when she just got into talking about her dad being happy when she was able to, like, execute it well, it was just sad. Like, I wasn't, like, crying, but then I was just like, oh, that's, like, sad, you know?
Yeah, it is sad to think about.
Yeah.
But we can pour some hot fudge on this Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you would like to go on an Ayana Koji rant, please feel free, because that's all I have in Hot Fudge, too.
Right. It's our time, guys. It's our time.
It's our time.
Y'all remember, if y'all watched The Real, it was a daytime show. That's like what I was singing. That was their theme song.
Oh.
It's our time. Don't waste another minute of it. Like, something like that's that. Great. Anyway, so Ayano Koji, you are a bitch. I don't know how you could be raised to be so elitist to the point that you think being exclusionary is fetch. Like, that doesn't work. That's not going to ever vibe. And I think just to start it off, like, if Haruhi, like, was able to really just let the chopper sing, I would say you have to pay Tamaki to pay attention to you to be here.
Right. Goodness gracious, like, had she ever considered that?
Right. It's like, you have to pay him to pay attention to you. He just pays attention to me. So let's start there. She was getting on Haruhi before she even knew that she was a girl. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't see, and maybe that's just how, this is like a rollover for Blue Spring Ride. But I really resent when you see teenagers, and it's like, I know teenagers are teenagers and they're going to feel the wrong thing. But being mad at the person your crush is paying attention to, like, that's not going to make your crush like you. It makes you look like a shitty person.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so to get to the point of you need to know your place, I'm going to bully you and throw your things into a fountain so you can know your place, to then, instead of just taking that self-awareness to acknowledge that you were like a jealous, evil snake, like a bad snake, not a good snake or whatever, an evil snake, then you want to accuse Haruhi of assault. And I just don't, like, the way that, even when I first read it, I was just like, this is very, like, 0 to 100.
It is. It really is.
And this isn't, like, assault in the way that we think about it. It's, like, just, I guess, Haruhi hitting her. Because how the fuck could you do anyway? Mm. Just, oh, they assaulted me and da-da-da-da-da. And so then at that point, the guys go and defend her. And I was just like, to be honest, I would say the fact her saying certain remarks should have been had her kicked out. Why? Who are you to tell her to know her place? Are you serious?
I wonder if somehow they didn't realize or hear the things Ayana Koji was saying, although I don't know how her true character wasn't coming out in her conversations with Tamaki at all. But I feel like they were able to somehow put the pond together, and then they were all there at the club, and I'm sure someone had eyes on that table and obviously wouldn't think that Haruhi would do a thing. So
yeah,
maybe that was just like the tipping point, and they were probably waiting for one other thing to happen, and maybe it just went from 1 to 10. That's all.
I mean, I guess I don't know if I could personally give them that much credit, just because when the episode started off, they were also sort of saying, like, derogatory things.
That's true. Yeah.
About her being poor. Mm-hmm. And it was giving zoo animal.
Yeah.
Like, all these people, like, observing her and making assumptions about her, even making her out to be some sort of hero. Like, oh, it's an underdog story that you're able to come here and study with us and everything, and you have to be audacious and all of this other stuff to be in this school. But yeah, I mean, that's just a me thing. But if somebody could say little snide things like that, and I feel like she said something else as well prior to the, oh, you assaulted me thing.
Oh, she called Haruhi a kitten without a pedigree to Tamaki.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like if you disrespect, and maybe that's because, like, they weren't established friends at that point. Mm-hmm. But I'm the type of person, I just need someone, like, one time to say something derogatory about somebody that's close to me personally, and I'm just done. I'm not going to give people multiple strikes, because it's like, if you can say that about somebody and I know them to be a good person, what would you say about me? So
yeah, yeah. Well, do you want to move into I Scream, You Scream?
Sure.
I just have two little ones. My first one is a very good thing to come right out of what you're saying here. Mm-hmm. While I love the whole, like, commoner's coffee bit, I do think the whole commoner's coffee demonstration by a commoner is actually kind of cruel.
Yeah.
Like, they could read the instructions. They didn't have to humiliate Haruhi to, you know, into, like, some poor servant showcase. I mean, I guess Haruhi was the host club's dog or whatever at that point, but man, it just felt kind of cruel. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, even going back to my reference of, like, zoo animals and stuff, they used to do that legitimately, like, have, like, zoos or amusement parks where they would have live people that were just different. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you guys have watched, like, The Greatest Showman, it was like that for real. Like, so they have little people. You were born with a disability, an abnormality. Mm-hmm. They would do that. And so I personally didn't like that as well. I would also say, or at least the only ice cream you scream that I have, because I talked about the zoo animal bit and that was like my second thing, is just Tamaki invading her personal space, like when she first came in.
Oh, yeah. Especially after he finds out she's a girl. It's like, okay, back off.
Yeah, yeah. Because I feel like when you watch it, you see that Haruhi is trying to keep space between her and Tamaki. And he just is continuously breaking her boundaries. So it's like he's trying to get out of the door. He's sort of following her. He's following her all around. Honey also does it as well, to the point that she breaks the vase. And it's just like, you know what? One, if you have a vase that's $61,000, maybe you should do better in your display of it so that it wouldn't be broken.
Yeah, like maybe put it in a case.
Yeah.
Or maybe not balance it on a beam in the middle of the room.
Right, like if you plan on selling something, why would you have it just out in display on an insecure table, or like not insecure, but like an, like I just wouldn't, I would do better into providing proper security for a vase that's that expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's just kind of like, okay, well, let's keep it real. Like you kept invading her space and then she broke the vase. So Tamaki, isn't he also at fault? Because if he didn't keep following her like that and trying to touch her like that, then it wouldn't have happened. So it's like, is she really in debt, or is it more so like you have something to play like into it? And I think at that point, because of the fact that she's like a commoner and she didn't really try to argue her case, she just automatically thought, oh, I can pay for it, rather than being like, you know, if you weren't following me around like that and you could see that I was uncomfortable, this wouldn't have happened, you know?
Right.
I mean, the show wouldn't have happened if she argued it like that, but... Yeah.
Well, it's also interesting because, I mean, we're not going into this blind. We know later down the line, and I'm sure anybody listening to this has seen Oran, you know, spoiler alerts ahead, I guess, really quick. We know that Haruhi's career aspiration is to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
So you would think that she would make an argument like that.
Yeah. You would think she would, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I never really dissected all of that. It's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
My last ice cream use cream is very silly. It's just like, can anybody just leave Haruhi alone in the dressing room? Like, do we have to barge in there? Do we have to all be part of it? Is this just what guys do? Do they just go into dressing rooms together?
Like, I think it's just a boundary thing.
And they just met this person and they think they can just be in the dressing room with them. I wouldn't want to get undressed even in front of a lady I just met. I mean, like, I've done theater, whatever. Like, if it was part of a thing, sure. But, like, at school, when I'm in high school, I mean, I don't think so if I just met some girl, you know?
Right. I especially wouldn't want to do it around people that see me as like a zoo animal or less than a person,
yeah,
or whatever. People who are critiquing.
That I'm in debt to.
Right. Because that's just another thing for them to talk about. It's like, oh, that chemise, like, that's so cheap. What material is like, I wouldn't undress near them at all.
No, thank you. Yeah, but that's it for me for episode one.
Yeah, same.
All right, guys, getting into episode two, the job of a high school host, our soft serve summary. Host club regular Kaneko Kazekazaki is having trouble with her fiancé, Toru Suzushima, who is planning to leave to study abroad. The group plans to reunite them at an upcoming dance by making Haruhi dress as a girl and approach Toru as an admirer. Toru says he's flattered, but he already cares for someone else. Kaneko finds them together and flees, in tears, but Toru catches up to her, and they affirm their feelings for one another. At the end of the dance, Kaneko is chosen as the queen to be given a kiss on the cheek by Haruhi. Tamaki, realizing that this will be Haruhi's first kiss, runs to stop her and stumbles, pushing Haruhi's face into Kaneko's with a kiss on the lips. So, getting into themes, do you have any theme ideas?
I feel like I should go last.
Uh-oh.
But yes, I do have a theme, and y'all will definitely have a reaction to it.
Oh gosh, mine's only three words.
Okay.
Communicate your feelings.
Yes, that's very accurate, yes.
What's yours? I'm scared.
Okay. Drum roll, well, not really. Be in a relationship with a cuck.
I was taking a sip of water and I almost spit it out. Oh my God. What? Please unpack that for me.
Okay. Okay. So there's the Kasuaga and is dating Toru. And, well, not dating. They're, like, supposed to get married. Which feelings?
Right. Yeah.
But the thing about it is that she's just been playing around in this host club, having favorites of different men. And, like, her fiance literally sees her doing it. And instead of, like, confronting her about it, he just kind of gets sad and walks off. And then when the episode, like, ends, he's like, oh, well, it's just a kiss on the cheek. You can graduate from, like, your host. Wait, what did he say?
Host hopping.
And I'm just like, you are so accepting of your fiance just being on other men. And then Haruhi kisses her. Like. I mean, it wasn't Haruhi's fault, but still, just no reaction. So like I said, be in a relationship with a cuck. This is also how I feel about Sailor Moon. Sorry, y'all. Mamoru, okay? Darien, for the people who saw the dub back in the day in the United States or whatever. Darien is also a cuck, in my personal opinion. Because she gets taken by somebody, Usagi gets taken by somebody almost every season. Even the final one. I'm telling you, it always happens. And you know what? He's just down. He's like, yeah, you know, we're endgame. We're in this. But yeah. So that is the theme.
Getting into sprinkles on top. Do you have any? I do not.
I do not either.
Okay. So right on into Floats Your Boat, then. Immediately, we're just dropped into a whole ass tropical paradise in the music room. I was just like, okay, yeah, sure. You guys can do this, whatever. You're rich.
Right? And it's like when I saw them in the traditional wear, it just reminded me of when I've been to Bali for real, guys. So I was just like, oh yeah. They do sort of, well, not like Tamaki, but like the way that the twins are dressed, but like with shirts, they do dress like that.
That's amazing that they like were culturally accurate and stuff. I mean, Kyoya does his best, goddammit.
Yeah.
Getting more into like, I guess, a serious like about the episode, when Kaneko comes over to introduce herself to Haruhi, I love the way that it cuts over to her in a teacup in like the, you know, the teacups ride, but it's all dark and somber when she introduces herself. I thought that was a really, really nice touch. It's just her saying her name, the audio of her saying her name over her in that teacup. I thought that was really, really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, that could be the sprinkle on top is the teacup.
Oh, yeah. The ride.
Yeah.
The teacups ride.
Yeah. Because it becomes bright again once.
At the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my likes that is not serious is Honey inchworm crawling onto Mori. I was just like, ooh, let it be me. But yes.
Let it be me.
Yeah.
I love this thirst you have for Mori. It's amazing.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling you guys, like, my happiest moment was when I had an uncle that was very tall, because my family is short. Very, very tall. I used to have him pick me up all the time. I'm telling you, whoever you are, future partner, because I say partner on purpose, whoever you are, future partner, if you are a tall person and you, I don't know, deadlift, you lift weights and stuff, like, I'm coming for you. Like, I will put your skills to the test. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, and Tamaki blowing up her school photo.
Oh my God. It's funny. I think that is so funny, but my inner self made me put all of that in Banana Split just because it's such an invasion of her privacy, but it's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, the dedication.
Even the frame was gilded. Like, yeah. It was like in a museum, and I'm just like, wow, you did a lot.
It was in a chest with a sign on it that said, "The King's Property."
Like, he just goes, I mean, in general, I think that's part of Tamaki's character, is like going against the grain, going against her boundaries.
Yeah.
So yeah, I understand it being Banana Split, but it made me laugh so much. It was like, why did you even do that? But.
Yeah. So there's a really brilliant tension created between Kaneko and Suzushima when he first shows up to the club with that box of like tea cups or whatever.
Mm.
I thought that it was achieved really, really well because it's like, she's trying to look at him, he's trying to look at her, but like, he's trying to figure out, oh, what's their connection? Obviously, there's something here. And it's like, it's translated so well over this very casual conversation going on around them. I thought it was brilliant.
Right. And like, you sort of get your first clue when Tamaki notices her talking about the teacup.
Yeah.
Like, the way she's holding it. I think she's like, oh, it was lovely. And she's so happy about it. And he's like, clocking that, and then the guy comes in like with their latest shipment of stuff, and I was just like, oh, well,
what do we have here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like that. It's like I can read between the lines. I mean, I don't even think it's between the lines, but I could read it. I was like, oh, okay, I get this. Like, yeah.
So when we get to the party, all Haruhi requests is fancy tuna.
Yeah.
And the urgency of everyone to get fancy tuna there as fast as possible will never not be funny to me.
Yeah, it was like it became a mission.
It did.
But they were also laughing at her at the same time.
Yeah, they're like, oh my god, you're so cute.
Yeah.
But speaking of their plans and their endeavors, the ridiculous plan they cooked up to get Kaneko and Suzushima back together was like, okay, let's kidnap Haruhi right out of Kaneko's arm on the dance floor. There's a collaborative love letter written by the twins and Kyoya.
Oh. And then... the love letter was banana split for, oh my god, I was like...
It was too funny for me.
It was like...
I had
it was,
to put it in...
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to put it in Float Your Boat.
No, it made me laugh a lot, but at the same time, I was just like, could you at least have pretended that it was
right.
From could you,
like, that you've ever, like, had a romantic thought in your life, like...
Right.
I'm in love.
Like, love this, love that. I was just like, oh, God.
I wrote down, it's like my heart's stuck in a never-ending typhoon. When the typhoon's waters rise, I want a rendezvous with you on Noah's Ark.
Yeah. Which, would that even be a good time with all the animals on it? But
no.
Still, like...
It's so ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. It's so fantastical and cringe. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Haruhi's reaction to being in makeup and heels was so funny. She's just like, my face feels heavy and it's hard to walk in these shoes. But Tamaki's reaction's kind of cute to seeing her all done up.
I think what's funny is that the twins know how to do no makeup.
Oh my god. That's right. I mean, hey, maybe it's just in their blood. Their mom's a fashion designer, right?
I mean, true, but... I don't know. I wouldn't go. I mean, I guess like they probably seen like the models and seen the makeup artists do their thing. But I was just like, they're like, oh, they did all this work. And I'm just like, girl, you look the same.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm grown now. This is no makeup. Okay. Okay.
I love that. I didn't even think of it like that. I loved Haruhi's bluntness with Suzushima. I mean, it was a little harsh at times, but specifically I really liked when she was saying things like, how will you expect her to wait for you if you don't tell her how you feel? Mm-hmm. And also, once you decide to change, then you've already begun your transformation. I really liked both of those tidbits of advice. I think that they're very universal.
Yeah, it's like she was wise beyond her years.
Yeah, I mean, she was kind of forced to grow up quickly too.
Yeah. Yeah, he absolutely needed to hear that.
Oh, for sure.
And you know what was really interesting? I don't know if this is really a like. Maybe it's a banana split. I'll hold off on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have two more.
Oh.
Well, and they can kind of all go into one.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mine was just like the kiss.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the kiss could kind of be banana split, but I just thought it was... I don't know. I think it's kind of funny because I don't know if Haruhi cared that much.
Right. I think that the reason why I had it in Float Your Boat was the fact that she wasn't adverse to it.
Yeah. She was just like, oh, that's kind of funny that it happened that way.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tamaki's melting in the background.
Right.
Yeah. The banana peel gag just is so funny throughout the entire series, but I know we don't have to touch on that right now, but the banana peel gag gets me every time. Because, it's again, I just think it's self-aware of it being so over the top.
Yeah, because it's just like, plot banana, like.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. My last floats your boat is just the melodrama of Kaneko finding Haruhi talking to Suzushima, and then she's crying and running away, and then he's chasing after her. And I feel like it just makes for a very satisfying conclusion when he finally asks her to dance and she accepts and he's like, I love you. And the dark teacup ride brightens up and it's like colorful and she's spinning around happy in it. It was all just very satisfying for me. You know how I was talking last week in our Q&A episode where I was like, it just tickles the right spot. That felt like it hit all the shoujo points I wanted it to.
Yeah. And you know what? I would say, because it sort of gets into it. That was part of the banana split where I was like, oh, hold off on it. Was like, she expects him to be a cuck, but she doesn't have what it takes to be one because he walked into the host club to deliver those teacups. And, you know, his reaction to seeing her there was just a little sad, but he walked away. The implication of a girl confessing to him had her running off crying. And so at that point, it's like, if you can't handle it, why do you dish it out?
Right.
But I did like the fact that he got the courage to tell her he loved her mm-hmm. after they put like 8 spotlights on them and had all of the women from the host club party like watch the confession and them dancing together and stuff. I was just like, I would be embarrassed because it's just like all these people just intruding on your private moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was still fun though.
It was. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Do you have any other banana splits? Because I actually talked about my one already.
No, I think I talked about the ones that I have. So yeah.
Okay. Do you have any Rocky Road, Hot Fudge, Ice Cream You Scream?
Hot Fudge.
Ooh, okay.
And then a little Ice Cream You Scream.
I just have one Ice Cream You Scream, so take it away, Hot Fudge.
Yeah, Hot Fudge. So, children talking about getting married.
Yeah.
And then you realize it's not for play. Like, they were being serious. Like, they were engaged.
Well, I didn't know if it was an arranged thing. I don't know why I got that impression that it was an arranged thing.
I think it was arranged, and then they were just hanging out with each other. And then because they were also told that they were going to get married, then he was like, oh, I'm going to tell you all about these teacups when we're married. And she was all excited about it because they were looking at this teacup display.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, I was just like, I don't really know why you can't allow your children to be children. Because, I mean, do kids play house and pretend to be married? Yes. But not with literal expectations in mind.
Yeah, you don't need to tell your, like, 5-year-olds that they're destined to be married someday.
Yeah, because that's a lot. Like, what if they end up having feelings for other people? Like, you don't know that, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't like the fact that even if their marriage was arranged, I don't like the fact that they told children that were that young that y'all are gonna get married.
Yeah, that's definitely uncomfortable.
Yeah. Ice Cream You Scream.
I just have one. I didn't even really write real notes on it. I just wrote communication and I held the N key. So it's just a bunch of N's at the end. I say this in like every other episode to some capacity. Like, nothing's gonna get accomplished unless you tell the person the thing you need to tell them. And I don't think I need to really elaborate more than that. Like, these kids really had to talk to each other.
Right. Because it's like, if you like him, why are you going off with other men?
Why are we host hopping?
Why are we host hopping if you like him?
Yeah.
And then with him just talking, I mean, not that it was right, but you casually talk to her about, oh, when we're married, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. So why is it hard for you to confess if y'all are always all around each other? And then even the aspect of them saying that, oh, he was going to tell her to wait for him when he went abroad. That doesn't make sense with this story because Orin High School Host Club is based in a school where everyone is bloody rich.
Yeah.
Like, super rich. So why the hell would she have to wait for you? She could just fly her ass over, like, on the weekend.
Oh, that's true. And I mean, hey, we see somebody with a family plane in an episode coming up. So it is feasible she could just go visit him on the weekends.
Right, right. Because they have that type of money. Especially, like, you could stop your host hopping and just redirect that money to your flight plans. And
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't understand the need to have that particular trope within this episode. Doesn't make sense given the money that they're supposed to have. So
yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's really the slave line. That's what, okay. Tamaki says during the Bali portion of this episode, I am no more a slave before my goddess kneeling and swearing my loyalty.
Oh. Yikes, I missed that somehow.
Yeah, it's all right that you missed it. But what I want to just say before that, and this is something that I've seen a lot with, like, those villainous manhwas that people read a lot. I know that there's an aspect of this in that, what is it called? Sugar Fairy Apple show that's coming out on Crunchyroll. But the romanticization of slavery is just really not cute.
Oh, no.
And it's like, okay, you want to say super flowery, like, stuff. But even when it comes to this sentence, it's like, okay, you could say you want to be, like, a worshiper or a follower of said goddess, to go all the way to, like, slave and make it seem as if, like, oh, this is so romantic to say, is like, no, because why would you want to equate yourself to that? You would have no, like, I mean, to be literal, you would have no rights. You would not be able to have, like, anyway. So I think people in general should just stop romanticizing this slave aspects in stories. I used to be a slave and now I'm villainous of this, or I bought this person and because I wanted to help them and da 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 da, like, as if there's not savior aspects in that. Like, just stop romanticizing slavery of any fashion within fiction. I just think that should be a given. Although I see it a lot anyway, like I said, I've seen it a lot now with the web comics that people have been reading and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, goodness. I wonder if he said something slightly different in the English dub, maybe, and that's why I didn't catch that.
Yeah, because I was watching sub, so.
Okay.
I don't know if they would have said that. They might not. They probably didn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you have anything else?
Oh, Katsuaga just casually touching Haruhi when they first met, I don't really like. I mean, I think I just have a boundaries thing. So
no, I agree. I don't think you should just assume that you can invade somebody's personal space. You know, like, yeah, that's still a person, like, with personal boundaries.
Yeah. Like, you don't know this person, or you're getting to know this person and you're already touching their face. That's, like, too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, that's it.
Okay, guys, getting into episode 3, Beware the Physical Exam, our soft serve summary. The host club scrambles to find a way to prevent Hadahi's gender from being discovered during annual physical exams. Their attempts fail miserably until Kyoya steps in with a doctor who promises not to reveal her secret. Meanwhile, Dr. Yabu enters the room searching for his daughter and is falsely accused of making a pass at a female student. Kyoya accurately assesses the man's daughter is probably attending Oron Public High School and not Oron Academy due to Yabu's story of financial difficulty. Tamaki provides him with directions and Haruhi is impressed by the club's insight and kindness, deciding to stick with them. All right. Any theme ideas, Chika?
I actually didn't have a theme for this.
It took me a second to come up with one because I was trying to think, like, what the episode mostly kind of centered around. And what I managed to come up with was think before you speak and mind what you say to others. And this was regarding Tamaki and the homosexual supporting cast comment.
Mm.
Because it kind of flips everything on its head for the rest of the episode because they want to get back at him for that.
Yeah, and I totally understand why.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was not a nice thing to say.
Yeah.
Do you have any sprinkles on top?
I think the white kite. There's a white kite that you see in the episode.
Yeah, I did notice the white kite, but I wasn't sure what to make of it.
I feel like maybe it's just there are highs and lows in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends on how the wind catches you to know how your day is going to pan out.
Yeah, that's cute.
I tried. I was like, I'm going to put this together.
Yeah, it was cute. So getting into Floats Your Boat, we opened the episode on a cherry blossom flower viewing reception outside. And all I could think was, please transport me there. I want to be there right now.
Yeah. And you know what? Well, it's not really connected. It's sort of connected, but it's like I would like to be in a nice space and area like that. But on top of it, Kyoya using that time to pull out host merch.
Oh my God, yes.
And I was just like, okay, marketing genius.
Yeah, that was literally my next point. Just brilliant capitalism from Kyoya right there.
Yeah.
There's also the the infamous moment where Tamaki calls Kyoya mommy and Kyoya calls Tamaki daddy. And I had to put it in Floats Your Boat because
I did too.
It's iconic. Yeah.
Just like, okay, it's one thing if Tamaki's doing it, but then Kyoya going along with it was so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, okay, yeah, I'll play along with this. We do get our very first peek into the theater of Tamaki's mind in this episode, where we see, I love that term too, by the way, the theater of Tamaki's mind.
Yeah, that's perfect.
We see a bashful Hatahi in the girl's uniform, and she's like all shy, and Tamaki's like, they're looking at you because you're lovely, and I'll protect you no matter what. Well, and that's kind of a lot, but you know, just the fact that he's having these ridiculous, obnoxious daydreams is so funny to me. So that's why it's Floats Your Boat.
Yeah, just this crazy fantasy. And they could tell, like, he was just thinking something that was too far and just observing it.
Yeah. But Honey's just like, I think he's having a really nice daydream. Like,
yeah.
So cute. We do. Oh, I love fourth wall breaks, and this show does them brilliantly.
Yeah.
We have a really great fourth wall break, which is when Tamaki said, I guess it could kind of be Banana Split, when Tamaki says that thing to everybody. He's like, well, this is obviously a romantic school comedy.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, Hatahi and I are the main characters, so we'll fall in love. And I mean, he does. That's when he turns everybody and says, you're the homosexual supporting cast, so please don't step over this line. And that was really mean, but I did kind of laugh at it because it's like, well, I'm just going to say that you're this, which means you can't possibly have romantic feelings for the person I like. So I interpreted it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I was banana split on it just because while it was funny, but then it was also playing on that stereotype of like, having the gay best friend or...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then again, I feel like the series, because of the time that it came out, it having this sort of trope, while it could be tiring, it's like it still was doing a lot in how it presented certain things.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We did have another fourth wall break that I really liked when they were trying to motivate Hatahi to be invested in the plan with fancy tuna.
Yeah.
Tamaki's like, you didn't get to eat any at last episode's party. I thought it was...
Yeah.
I love that they addressed that it was last episode's party.
Yeah, me too. When you started going through yours, like, some of mine was in it. So I was just like, oh, yeah, like, commiserating. But it's like, oh, it's also on my list.
Yeah, yeah.
I have Tamaki in despair is so funny because...
Yeah, it really is.
Like, even though he's supposed to be in charge, he's so easily led. So the twins tell him to put on a wig and pretend to be a Ruhi.
Yes.
And then everybody just is, like, confused. And he's horrified and he looks at Haruhi and then she like flashes him this glare that looks like it was a laser and he just is eroding away. I was laughing so hard.
Check it out. Tamaki's eroding away. Kills me. Absolutely murders me every time. It's so funny.
Yeah, it was so funny. I think outside of that, the only thing that I have that we hadn't talked about, I had two things. When Honey at the beginning of the episode was making the tea and then all of the tea got out of the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they added a string scratch to show how bothered he was. So the string scratch that happened when Honey realized that all the tea got out and then he was so disappointed. I love that added touch. You see, like, the girls trying to make Honey feel better.
Yeah.
And then Kyoya having a presentation ready about the twins being closer to Haruhi.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who made these graphs?
Right. He just had them ready to go. He's like, yeah, you spend like 3% of Haruhi's day with her. How does that feel?
Yeah.
It's like he was waiting to explain it to him, to put him in his place.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. But that was all of my floats your boat.
I just have one more.
Okay.
And it was the Ouran Host Club shonen moment when they come in behind the curtain where Haruhi is with Dr. Yabu because they think that, you know, maybe he's like hurting her in some way.
Yeah.
And they're like naming all these like things. They're like, one, good looks nobody can resist. Two, wealth beyond imagination. And it's like these intense cuts of them and lighting on them just announcing the Ouran Host Club. And at the end, they're like, and we're the Ouran Host Club, watch out. And Yabu kind of like cries out a little bit, like they're gonna like shonen attack him or something. I thought that was really funny.
Even Tamaki's like, ooh, teddy bear kick. I'm like, what teddy bear are you kicking that breaks the wall like that?
Yeah.
So like the impact of the kick, that was like a shonen kick to me, but yeah.
Yeah. It was like a parody within a parody. Really, really liked it.
Yeah.
But we can head on into Banana Split now, if you have any. Do you have Banana Split?
No, because the only one I had was the homo supporting staff line.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I have one that's, I guess it could probably be closer to like I Scream, You Scream. I just really loved the funny captioning on this because a little card comes up when Yabu is talking and he's telling them what's going on in his life and it just says suddenly it's his life story.
Yeah.
And again, that just calls back to it being very self-aware. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny too.
Yeah, it's just the context of it all that he went into debt because he kept taking IOUs, which is awful, and him just showing up unprompted first off and then to the wrong school looking for his daughter is just like super not good.
Definitely. I mean, that was actually just my hot fudge, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was just him searching for his daughter because if you can tell that all of these girls are changing or whatever, I don't know why he didn't just wait until the physicals were over to be like, oh, I'm looking for my daughter, you know?
Yeah. Or like maybe just go to the front office for that.
Right.
Don't roam the school. Like, how did you even get in?
Right. Because I think for me, it's like weird. They're just like, oh, he's actually a good person. But if he was a good person, why is he in the dressing room asking about his daughter?
Like, yeah. That's
predator type behavior, especially when the doctor that was going to examine Haruhi is a female doctor. So at that point, why don't you talk to another adult to be like, oh, I'm looking for my daughter. This is like her name. Could you possibly like help me or ask the student you're about to examine if they know who she is?
Mm-hmm.
Versus appearing behind a student that's undressing.
And also, he could have just called the school.
Right.
Be like, hey, is she in today or something? I don't even know. Like, there were many routes that weren't the one he chose that could have been better.
Right, because since he's her legal father, he does he should have the ability to call the school to be like, is my daughter in school today?
Yeah.
To then find out she doesn't go here. Sorry.
Yeah, you're probably looking for Ouran Public High School. Try there.
Yeah, yeah. That was the only hot fudge I had.
Okay. Do you have any Ice Cream, You Scream?
So even though they were all going in to save Haruhi, I just, all of them appearing in her dressing room.
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe they knew he was back there. That's all I can really give them. But if they didn't, can't remember. Did they know that Yabu was back there?
I mean, they ran, but it's like they didn't know. And then Tamaki just barged in like he did before.
Yikes. Okay. Yeah, that kind
of
sucks.
And then all of a sudden they all started appearing in the dressing room. And it's just like, at this point, well, I guess I could also give this to Haruhi. Why didn't you just start butting that shit up? Like, or button like the top part so you aren't technically like exposed. Cause at that point it's like, okay, I'm putting my arms in. I'm going to start doing the buttons since all of y'all are just here, rather than just sitting with like Tamaki's shirt on her. Because like, I don't know. I get that they were trying to protect her and it's supposed to be a comedic beat, but at the same time, it just sort of reiterates the lack of boundaries that are established for Haruhi that I just would like to see them acknowledge and accept, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But that's it.
That's it? Okay. Well, we did it. We got through episodes 1 through 3 of Ouran High School Host Club. And I don't know if I've said this in the recording, but I know I told Chica this before the call. I am a little intimidated covering Ouran because it's such a fave. It's like, how do I even take notes on something I've watched so many times? And, you know, I want to make sure that we get all the good parts and, you know, that we're saying the right thing. So I hope you guys are enjoying our coverage so far of this amazing show.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we're covering it. Like, even though that we have a little trepidation towards it, I hope you guys enjoy it. And please, please share the episode with your friends on social media to get the word out that we're talking about this and grow our shoujo community even more.
Yes, if you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on Spotify. Anywhere that you can leave a 5-star review will really, really help us out a whole lot, and it'll also reassure us that we're covering Ouran well.
Yeah.
But with that said, if you want to keep up with us during the week, you can follow us across all socials like Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all that jazz at Shoujo Sunday. And if you want to keep up with us individually and see what we're doing, you can follow me at Gianna_Luna_ everywhere. I'm most active on Instagram and Twitter. And how about you, Chica?
You can follow me at Chica Supreme. That's Chica with a K and not 2 C's.
Okay, so, and if you've watched the English dub of Ouran, you now know where I've stolen my goodbye, at least, to you guys. So, with that said, we'll hit you up next week with the next few episodes of Ouran. We'll see you then. Bye!